things that just about everybody else accepts as fact.
He came, he saw, he died.
But we ain't killing they army, but we killing them. We be on CNN like, say our name, Ben, say it three times.
The meeting of the largest armies in the history of the world. Then there's going to be an invasion.
Hey, everybody, check it out. I got James Bovard on the line. He wrote my favorite book.
Okay, one of them.
Attention Deficit Democracy. What a great book that is. It's kind of a Bush years, end of the Bush years, I think. Beginning of Obama years era type of thing. And, of course, he's also the author of Public Policy Hooligan, his great memoirs as an investigative columnist, a very unique legacy and a very accomplished writer in the libertarian movement, and a ton of books going back to the Reagan years and throughout the Bill Clinton and George Bush years, too. And welcome back to the show, Jim. How are you?
Doing good, Scott. Thanks for having me on. I'm glad you got your server problems worked out.
Finally. Jeez. Hey, listen, you are on the board of contributors at USA Today. That's pretty good. Representing the libertarian movement well. We like that. And you have your own website, jimbovard.com, of course, where you have all your stuff. And you write for The Future of Freedom, Jacob Hornberger and the crew at fff.org. And here's one that you wrote for The Future of Freedom. That's the monthly journal there. John McCain's disastrous militaristic legacy. And, hey, I guess it just so happens that John McCain is in the news because Trump is complaining that John McCain did not thank him for providing him with a very nice funeral, which I thought was kind of hilarious. But anyway, John McCain, you know, I won't start out your interview that way. I was going to say something really terrible. Instead, I'll ask you a question. Hey, Jim, do you think that John McCain deserves all the praise and credit and stature that he receives from the American mainstream media and political class?
Yeah, I wasn't expecting you to start out with a trick question. it's been amazing to see all the hubbub the last week or so, Trump's comments and the backlash by that. And, I was doing a hike with a group passing by the National Cathedral late last year, and there was some foreign guy who was asking me about, well, what's the point of the cathedral? I said, this is where Washington and Poobahs gathered to tell lies about dead politicians. And that's basically what the story was for John McCain and George H.W. Bush a few months later. It's amazing how John McCain became a saint, how he became a hero to so many people. And it says more about the media and the people that shape American political opinion than it does about John McCain, because basically going back decades, John McCain was just basically another dishonest, corrupt politician. He was almost indicted for his role in the Keating Five savings and loan scandal. He should have been indicted for that. It would have put the American people out of their McCain misery.
Wait, slow down, because there's so much there, and I want to go kind of through that a little slower. But starting off with, how about just what a great war hero he is for getting shot down and held prisoner in Vietnam. So what's your take on all that?
Well, I mean, I've known folks that were POWs. I've known folks that, you know, fought in wars for years, and it's like, there were some that were showed a great deal of courage. Others perhaps did not show as much, but simply the fact that he got shot down, was held prisoner, doesn't entitle him to sainthood, and it certainly does not entitle him to rule the U.S.
You know, but in the media last week, they were saying, oh yeah, show me your bone spurs, Donald Trump, and what's your excuse for not going to Vietnam? And I'm just thinking of all the big questions in there, and these are questions coming at him from the left, where isn't it probably a much more accurate reality, certainly from a much more leftist position, maybe not a liberal centrist kind of position, but from a further left position, that Trump's refusal to go to Vietnam was probably the best thing that he ever did in his life. And that, you know, whatever his motives were, he didn't kill anybody over there. And that's good. And this is a war that I thought the consensus was should have never been fought. So How is it that John McCain's the greatest hero in the world for participating in this thing, and Donald Trump's scum for not participating in it when it comes to, you know, personality clashes between these two? Things get so twisted around that, well, you know, the honor and glory and valor and stature from that McCain, I guess, earned and got to keep no matter what, for the fact that he was in Vietnam. And then that becomes something to beat Donald Trump over the head with.
Yeah, it's a paradox. You would think that the U.S. was doing a mission of mercy there, and that the U.S. government had been honest, and the U.S. had, that the U.S. troops had been acted in a way that was something that all the American troops all the time had acted in a way that should make Americans proud. But there were a boatload of atrocities there. Nick Turse did a fine book on that. The guy, David, who was the colonel. There was a colonel who was did an article for Playboy. He was the most decorated colonel in the military.
Hackworth?
Hack. Yeah, uh-huh. He had a lot of great comments on how there were so many atrocities in Vietnam. And the war started out with a bunch of lies. You had Lyndon Johnson, you know, doing one scam after another. You had McNamara, you know, just, you know, so brazenly lying. But, you know, it's a gauge of the Washington establishment and the Washington media. McNamara told so many lies and got so many Americans and Vietnamese killed. And after he left office, he was put on the board of directors of the Washington Post. So how's that for a paradox?
Yeah.
And the whole idea that McCain would be a hero because he, flew what, 30 missions, 30 bombing missions or something like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, there were lots of guys that did that, and lots of guys who did that and got shot down, lots of others who were killed, and lots of others who didn't get shot down. But the whole idea that there is a sainthood, I mean, there was backlash. I've heard from folks about my criticism of McCain, some folks who are former military types, and it's like, okay, so it doesn't make sense to assume that simply because someone put on a uniform that person is above criticism, because if you assume that, then that's a Pandora's box.
Are you a libertarian? You run an IT business? Well, then you have to read No Dev, No Ops, No IT by Hussein Badakhshani. No Dev, No Ops, No IT. It's how to run your computer company like a libertarian should. So, you know, one of the stories from McCain in Vietnam was after the fire on the Forrestal, which doesn't seem, there's been some writing about this, doesn't seem like McCain was the one who caused that. But the fire on his aircraft carrier, he was the admiral's son, and so he was able to get on a helicopter and fly right out of there and go straight to Saigon for some R&R. And there he met a New York Times reporter and told the New York Times reporter, "Geez, now that I've seen what napalm does to people up close, I just don't know if I can continue to participate in this thing and drop this stuff on people the way I've been doing. It's my job bombing the North here." And then he went right back to work doing the same thing. And then he got shot down and taken prisoner. So that makes him, you know, a bit more guilty. It's not like he was conscripted. He was the admiral's son. He could have got transferred off to Germany somewhere or something, doing nothing. He could have been in the Air National Guard with George Bush. And then there he was being as self-aware as he could about the war crimes he was committing against individual human beings down there in near his targets in North Vietnam. And in fact, I think at the time he was shot down, he was bombing a light bulb factory, a civilian target. Screw him, man. I don't know. That to me, it's not just that, oh, wowee, look at all those medals. You have to worship him, and you can never say anything against this demigod ever again. It's more like, I don't know, he's just a government employee committing crimes against innocent people. Seems like I'd respect him less than the average guy rather than put him on some pedestal. But, of course, you know, I guess I'm kind of an ideological extremist on the killing innocent civilians thing.
Well, and, you know, keep in mind, there were a lot of troops who were in Vietnam who did speak out. And I think some of them were, you know, made a public decision not to stop, you know, supporting the war, even though they suffered consequences. John McCain did not do that. So
that's right. And there are a lot of people who were just poor conscripts who had no choice, really. I mean, I guess they could have chosen prison, all of them, but not realistically. That's not the way it's going to work. But yeah, certainly the admiral's son bears a little bit more responsibility for his actions than some poor uneducated kid and the, you know, lowest rank in the Marine Corps out there.
Yep.
And by the way, as long as we're on that, you mentioned McNamara. I mean, it was just recently published. I don't know if this was known all along, but I just read this thing a few weeks ago about where it was admitted, where McNamara admitted, but it was in secret and now it came out or whatever, that they had an absolute deliberate policy that the lower the IQ, the further out on the front line you go. So wow. In other words, taking the most poor and uneducated American conscripts and just outright deliberately using them as the cannon fodder, which was something that they'd been accused of at the time and adamantly had denied. But of course, you know, the people who are really the dimmest are probably a lot less likely to survive out there in the toughest spot too. You know what I mean? That's really, anyway, that's the cynicism with which the Vietnam War was prosecuted. You know, I'm glad you mentioned Terce's book there too, Kill Anything That Moves. Anybody wants to read about Vietnam, read Nick Terce and that thing. Anyway, so John McCain, war hero, comes home, becomes a politician, and then you say something Keating scandal. What's that?
Keating 5 scandal. The savings and loan business industry collapsed in the 1980s, and it was they had all these federal guarantees, so it cost American taxpayers over $100 billion, if memory serves. And there was a huge one run by a guy named Keating, who had bought 5 senators, one of them being John McCain. And there was evidence that John McCain was pulling strings to make sure that the federal regulators, overseers, would not drop the hammer on this savings and loan that this guy was running. So there was a lot of question whether all those senators should have been indicted. John McCain was not. And after that, he suddenly became it was like he found his mission in Washington, mm-hmm. and that was fighting against corruption.
Yeah, which is perfect, of course, right? When you're guilty of tax.
I mean, this is, so he was pushing this campaign finance reform bill, which Congress finally passed after George W. became president. But he was also outspoken that if it was up to him, he would ban all negative ads that political candidates ran. And so, okay, so you're totally against freedom of speech. The whole idea that we shouldn't have negative ads is that that might be okay if politicians stop lying, but I don't think it's going to happen.
I mean, and you know what? Other than just the title, campaign reform, which blandly sounds like they're trying to improve something, the actual structure of that McCain-Feingold thing from the beginning, it was so obvious. I think even like on PBS News, they sort of explain that in essence, this is going to reserve the power to advertise to the party candidates themselves. And it's going to make it illegal for any private group of whether wealthy people or regular schmucks or anyone else to form groups and run campaign ads, as you put it, you know, accusing their congressman of doing anything wrong within 60 days of the election. The only time that mattered is nothing but an incumbency protection act for both parties. That was why it was McCain-Feingold after all, right? The bipartisan campaign reform act. Everybody who already won now is going to have a better advantage and be protected from anyone slandering them, which is amazing and fantastic the way that they were able to even get that passed at all. Have people believe that it was to help protect us from corruption in politics rather than to solidify it, you know?
And part of the another wrinkle here is that it was an obviously pro-incumbent bill, but it was sufficient to guarantee John McCain's sainthood with the Washington media. Mm-hmm. Something else he did, which, made him a hero to a lot of the people in the media was he turned into a champion for gun control and was, basically flip-flopped on the Second Amendment. It was, throwing out all kinds of ideas and doing a lot of dishonest stuff as far as the kind of ideas and proposals he was floating.
So certainly he supported the assault weapons ban in the 90s. Was that it?
I don't think he did in 1994. I don't recall exactly. But as the 1990s went on, he certainly changed a lot of his positions, a lot of things. And by 2001 or 2002, he was cozying up with a group called Americans for Gun Safety, which was basically a sort of like the Brady Group, but a little bit lighter, a little bit less abrasive, perhaps, a little less direct. So I actually did a story for the National Rifle Association magazine on John McCain's advocacy for gun control back in 2001 or 2002.
Hey guys, check out thebumpersticker.com and libertystickers.com. I created the company way back when, but I sold it to Rick McGinnis, and he's done such a great job keeping it going since then. They do great custom work for your band or your business at thebumpersticker.com and get anti-government propaganda for the back of your truck at libertystickers.com. You know, I had read somewhere, Jim, where McCain had learned the lesson from the Keating scandal, I guess, to just make himself open to journalists and just befriend them all. And anybody who came knocking, anyone who wanted to talk to him, that he would just be known among the media guys as that senator who was so friendly to them. And that, this is really as easy as that. They took care of all his PR for free after that. And
that was a big factor in his popularity with the press corps. There are a couple of journalists I know who were, charmed by him. And I'm just thinking, okay, so he was nice to you and he praised you, but he's still full of crap, isn't he? Well, from one perspective, I'm thinking, oh, don't give me this. So, it's not too easy. It's pretty easy for a politician to seduce a journalist.
Yeah, way too easy. Now if I remember right, did somebody say like he opposed the attack on Panama or something? At some point, he had kind of a reputation of being a little bit skeptic, had a case of the Vietnam syndrome, but then that all went away. I think before Bill Kristol started telling him he was Teddy Roosevelt, he was already kind of making the change. But do you remember his record on all that? Iraq War One. He must have been a hawk during that, right?
Probably. I don't recall exactly. I mean, I assume he was at least somewhat for the war. So, I followed him a lot more, after his 2000, presidential campaign that sought to get the GOP nomination.
Well, I know he was a huge hawk on Kosovo in 1999. I remember seeing him on Meet the Press and all that.
His campaign slogan, I guess, from Bill Kristol in 2000 was rogue state rollback. But he didn't plan to roll back any of the U.S. government power.
Yeah, no, we're the enforcer of the law. We have to be immune from it. That's how it works around here. So we all know.
But he certainly got worse. He was a typical Washington politician in the sense that he's someone who got a lot worse as time went on. Partly because of all the flattery that he received.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, that's what they say, right? That power corrupts, but it also makes you completely stupid. And that's the biggest reason why is that bubble that they get in where they just, you can't tell. And I've met very few actual powerful people in real life, but even sort of pseudo type semi-powerful ones, you can't really tell them anything because they already know everything. In fact, I'll go ahead and pick on him because I don't care. Gary Johnson, he doesn't seem like that powerful of a guy, but in his world, he is a self-made man, built himself into a millionaire with his construction company and all this, was a two-term governor. And man, you couldn't tell that guy a thing, no matter what. And he's a nice guy. But to him, come on, he already knows everything. What could he learn from you? And with that attitude, he's just stuck. And you think a guy like McCain makes Gary Johnson look like nothing in terms of self-perceived status and all of that,
Ego size.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I mean, and even if he didn't have that ego, even if you just parachuted him in there, look at the position he's in, this kingmaker in the Senate and all this, you know. Just anyway. So now Iraq, right after